The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, after years in the making, the Planning and Development Bill finally approved by the Oireachtas last night, one of the last big stumbling blocks in the way of a November general election. But the reaction has been fierce. Here is Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, Eoin O'Brien, on News Talk Breakfast this morning.
I have to say, in my 10 years in the Oireachtas, I've never seen a bill as widely criticised by as many sectors who'll have the job of trying to implement it before. I suppose the number of the problem is we do have lots of problems in our planning system. Parts of it work well, but parts of it are a real challenge and there are too many delays. And what almost all of the experts, planners, architects, developers, as well as other interested parties have told us about this bill is that, in fact, it's going to make our planning system much more complicated, much more conflict-ridden. It's going to lead to far greater levels of litigation. And that will all result in significant delays in the delivery of much-needed housing, critical infrastructure, public transport and renewable energy. So the government has really got this one wrong.
So the government has got this wrong, according to Eoin O'Brien, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson. The housing minister himself, then Dara O'Brien, addressed some of those concerns on the Pat Kenny show.
It's 3 years of very detailed work. What this bill will give fundamentally is three things. It'll give certainty, it'll give clarity and consistency in our planning system, which is sorely needed, I would say. And I think if you spoke to a person on the street and you mentioned the word planning to them and asked them what's the first word that comes to their mind, they will say delays. And we cannot operate a planning system on 25-year-old legislation that was brought in for a different Ireland, for a different time. So we have worked really hard to update it. And this is for the first time now across all of the planning decision authorities, including our local authorities, there will be statutory deadlines and timelines.
All right. So according to the government, this is going to solve an awful lot of problems and make things better. According to the opposition, the polar opposite. Now, the reality is very few of us out there are going to read the 700 plus pages of the Planning and Development Bill. So Tom Phillips, Managing Director of Tom Phillips and Associates, is with me. Tom, you are going to try and kind of make sense of this for us. You know, like I say, very few people are going to read it. They've got the opposition saying it's a disaster, the government saying it's a godsend. What's good about it?
Well, it's good that it's done, I suppose. The point is, we do need, like, there's been a commitment since 2016, 2018 to amend the Act and to do a root and branch, and they've done it, and they've done a huge task. I mean, it's a massive undertaking.
And maybe the first question I should have asked is, did that need to be done? Was it widely acknowledged that we needed reform?
Yes, it did, because planning has got so litigious over the years. I mean, it's like when I came back to Ireland in 1993, having qualified in 1989, you had to explain to people what a planner did. Nowadays, you don't, because it's become such a high issue. You talk about foreign direct investment, you talk about investment in Ireland, housing. It's at the core of all that. So the Planning Act is a Planning and Development Act, and it was designed, the first thing on the list was to provide for housing. So it's at the root of the housing crisis that we have, to have a planning system that facilitates housing. And then there's other forms of development, all these infrastructure and other things. And we have a very complex system, and it's all overlain by the amount of litigation that's taking place has grown exponentially.
Okay.
Not just by a small factor, but exponentially.
So we needed reform. Some reform had to be carried out. They've carried it out. The chief issue they needed to address in the reform was what? Was getting around kind of the litigation quagmire?
Well, I don't know if they succeed in that, because it's very difficult. All European states are signed up to the Aarhus Convention, the AARHUS Convention, Aarhus, and they have all signed up to it. But we take a very, very strong view on it, and people for €20 can object to schemes. And a lot of British planners that I would meet, or students in UCD who are foreign, can't get their head around the fact that anybody in the world can object to a scheme in Ireland. We've got Chinese students, we've got Indian students, Americans, Canadians, etc. And they just cannot understand how it is. We have such an open, democratic planning system.
And the Aarhus Convention, that doesn't obligate us to be that open, does it?
No, it doesn't. It has three policies. One is openness and you know, that access to information, the environment, etc. But we just have a very strong view, and the €20 has been around for a long time, that people can object to schemes, and you don't have to have this thing in legal called locus standi. You can actually live in Belmodet and object to something in Cork.
And other European member states who have signed up to this convention, give me an example of how they have kind of restricted that.
Nobody else has got the third party system that we have. So you would have to have...
You have to be impacted, or have something to do with you.
Yeah. Whereas in Ireland, you don't. So you can be, you don't, and you don't have to be resident in Ireland. You can do it from anywhere in the world. And that's very good. It's very democratic, but it comes at a cost to us in certain people's views, and other people think it's great, but it comes at a cost to development in the sense that if everybody has an opinion, it's very hard to get something through. So what they're trying to do in the Planning Act is try and bring all these bits of legislation. I was actually going to do a tot earlier on about the amount of legislation that's, you know, legislation's constantly evolving. And actually, funny, it was last Tuesday was the 60th anniversary of the first Planning Act, the 1963 Planning Act. And you think of it, the 1st of October 1964 was when they enacted the 1963 Act, which is slightly worrying that it took a year to get to enact it. So we have this, we're going to have this situation at the moment where we have the 2000 Planning Act and all its variations. And then we'll have the 2024 Planning Act that won't be necessarily in place for a while. So there's going to be a difficult transition period.
But after that transition period, say when this is fully up and running and implemented, will it deal with any of those issues around kind of third party objections?
Well, it does. It restricts certain forms of judicial review. But it also gives it.
But you'll still be able, kind of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
I can still go down and with my €20 object to a new manufacturing plant being built in Letterkenny.
Correct. Yeah, and the trickiness is that a lot of politicians who might be criticising the Act would be the same politicians who'd be hit upon by their constituents saying, you need to object to this. And if you're a politician and you don't object to a scheme, you're going to be in difficulty. So we expect a lot of our politicians on whichever party they are, right across the parties, to object to schemes. There's very few politicians are criticised by their constituents for objecting to schemes. They're always criticised for not objecting to schemes.
So what this might do is it's not going to prevent kind of third parties objecting no matter where they are in the world, but it might, once a decision has been made, it will restrict the number of people who can go for a judicial review?
Yeah, well, that's one thing. But to focus on some of the positives, I suppose, rather than negatives. The positives is that it will give more certainty in the sense that they're designed to bring in these new urban development zones and be much more plan-led and to be, you know, that development is set out in advance, because we're very reactive in Ireland in terms of objecting to something. A plan comes out and then people react to it negatively. They don't get involved at the early stages. So one of the parts of the Act is to try and bring the community in at an earlier stage in the process and get them more engaged in understanding what's happening in their location.
Okay, so that is going to be one of the changes. I mean, there's kind of maybe an understandable fear amongst planners and policymakers, though, that you engage people too early and they get their objections all kind of, their ducks lined up in a row in that sense.
Yeah, well, they do. I mean, people are just, there are certain legal firms are doing a very good job of working with local residents to stop developments. And people, there's often a thing that people like the drawbridge, where people kind of move into an area and then 2 years later they're trying to stop other people from moving into the area. They're okay and they pull up the ladder. And I've said it time and time again that we should have a planning system that's catering for 24-year-olds who are the future. Because the amount of Irish people and children who are emigrating to Australia and elsewhere is shocking. We're not solving the housing crisis. We've got some political documents coming out saying we're going to increase the number of planners. I mean, something I've raised with Pat Kenny actually last week was the point that planning isn't on the critical skills list. So we have a critical skills list. It's going to be on it. Apparently, I've heard that on the new minister's action plan it's on it. But we don't have enough planners in the country to deal with the system. That's very tricky.
So what else does this piece of legislation do that you think might be a change for the positive?
Well, certain timelines. I mean, on Bord Pleanála has been in difficulty the last 2 years. I think, I know that the name change is something that's really going to change a lot, but to bring in more certainty on timing, because we've had a situation that the board has had a statutory objective to determine applications in a particular period of time, and now it's been brought in that it's time limited. They must do it within a certain time. They can't just not do it. And that's positive. There are other things that are negative. I mean, dealing with conditions on a planning commission, that it used to be done within 8 weeks. Now it's been extended. So there, unfortunately, the Act is taking and giving at the same time. But planning is very subjective. So there are certain objective issues in the Act, but there's a lot of subjectivity. Mm. And in terms of the scale of it, if you think that in 1963, 64, there were X number of sections in it. Now there's 6X, so there's six times as many sections in the new Act as was there 60 years ago.
So, I mean, let's kind of cut to the quick for people at home. Will this improve the situation, or will it just change the situation?
I unfortunately think it will change it, but it depends. But then you see, it's not a hard and fast rule. It depends on your perspective. You could be, I'll give an example. You could be a 58-year-old listening to this radio show, and your 24-year-old is sitting there, sitting on the couch, wondering where they're going to live. And you're the 58-year-old, and you're thinking, I don't want more houses in my area. And you're the 24-year-old sitting on the couch saying, I wish I could live in this area because I can't afford a house.
So who's going to be happier with this piece of legislation?
Well, neither party going to be happy because it's human nature. Planning is not there designed to make it, it's there to try and deal with the common good.
Who will feel though that, whose viewpoint would be more facilitated?
I would say, unfortunately, not the 24-year-old. That's my fear. That's my fear.
Do you think this will still facilitate the drawbridge?
Oh, absolutely.
It's
absolutely. That, unfortunately, because we've signed up to have this very, very open democratic planning system, that we will have the drawbridge scenario.
And is our interpretation and our application of the Aarhus Convention, is that contained within this?
But it's referenced and they have to have regard to it at all times. It's part of EU legislation.
Yeah.
We have to have regard to it.
Other member states, as you say, have regard to it and they don't have as open a system as us.
They don't.
I mean, it strikes me that we could tighten up our rules around objections without reopening the legislation.
The near riots we had about getting people to pay for water charges. If you took away the right of someone to object to a housing scheme, you'd be a very brave politician. You'd never be re-elected. It's just impossible. And the same, we have to have a debate about should we be supporting the number of one-off houses we have in the country versus, there was a report recently said that there are three times, the average house in the country is three times the size of an apartment. And some people say you can't have that in other European countries. We have it in Ireland. So, you cannot please all the people all the time. You just can't.
But it seems when you speak to people on the ground, there seems to be kind of a patchwork application of planning laws, kind of county by county. Some county councils, it's much harder to build kind of in the corner of the field and it's gotten harder in recent years, and others still kind of seem to be operating on the system that existed 15, 20 years ago. Have at it.
Correct, and you can see that coming through in the appeals. I mean, Wicklow would be an example where you need to have shown you can live in Wicklow, but you could actually live on the border with the Wicklow in Dublin or Dunleary and not be allowed to live a few kilometres down the road because you're not technically from Wicklow. There's all these oddities in the planning system.
But you wouldn't necessarily, by tightening up our interpretation of the Aarhus Convention, you wouldn't be taking away everybody's ability to object. As you say, if you still have locus standi, you could object. So if you're living in the area, if you're kind of geographically proximate, if you're some way impacted by the development, but it just stops me. Surely it would be non-controversial to stop me objecting to a manufacturing plant in Letterkenny.
Agreed. My personal view is I think it should be tightened up, but I'm just saying, knowing what I know, I can imagine it would lead to not riots, that'd be over the top, but it would lead to a lot of concern and people saying that we're diluting the rights to object.
One listener here says, my issue with planning at the moment is that they appear to give planning for anything without ensuring the proper infrastructure is in place. There's a development near me that has been given approval, and yet the roads the development is on are very rural, and there's no proper road markings or footpaths or streetlights. There's no room in the road for an additional 100 plus cars. I feel like they will okay any development without any forward thinking or regard for the existing community or lack of services.
I wouldn't agree with that now.
Okay.
The one thing that I would hope is that we would get a Department of Infrastructure. It's so important that we have the infrastructure and housing. You can't have the housing without the infrastructure. And we can't, in Ireland, there's been four government reports in the last few months, and none of them can agree on the number of houses we should be building per annum. And the old thing, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it.
Yeah.
So if you don't know how many, how do you ever hold someone to account if you don't deliver it?
If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there.
Correct, exactly. Yeah.
But on that text, though, I accept the fact you disagree with it. But,
the person's entitled opinion, but I would say just from knowing it, the infrastructure is a huge issue with the Planning and Buildings Board and with local authorities, and there might be some other factor. I don't know the wherewithal of that particular, the actual.
No, but I wonder as you described it, the getting communities involved at an earlier stage, will that address some of those types of concerns? The communities can say, or they can have explained to them why maybe kind of they're not going to put footpaths and lights in this road.
That's one thing I raised before about the bringing people into the refugees into certain parts of the country, that a private developer has to do a report about a social infrastructure audit and explain and demonstrate to the planning authority on large schemes that the community can take it, that there's enough schools, crèches, etc. So that should apply to all forms of development. And if that's applied, well, then that's fair. But I mean, I can understand that person might be a one-off development. They might think, well, that's obviously not. They said to bring another 100 houses, 100
plus cars.
Yeah, that's
so
a lot. Must be a big development. Yeah, so. But I imagine there must be infrastructure. I mean, it would be a big part of the planning application to demonstrate to the planning authority that there is actually the sufficient infrastructure to take it. But we don't have a list in this country, unlike Australia. We don't have a list of what the priority infrastructure is. We should have.
Yeah.
We should say number one is this. Like the road, where does the road between Limerick and Cork fit on a list of 100 most important pieces of infrastructure? Nobody knows because it's not defined. And we need to start defining these things and make these hard calls.
So this is just a step in a direction, but we're not quite sure if it's the right direction.
Well,
I'd
say it is the right direction. I mean,
but it's a small step.
It's a big step. No, in fairness to the government, I mean, there's been a huge amount of work. And there's been a friend of mine who's...
I'm not trying to undo the work of the government, but you said it wouldn't necessarily improve things. You think it might just change things.
Your question's very straight, but the answer is more nuanced because it depends on who you are. If I could list about 10 people who would sit opposite me and have the exact opposite view, because their view on planning, I like tall buildings, for example. Other people hate them. Some people I was reading the debate last night with the Michael Healy Ray, etc. And those politicians in Kerry will fight tooth and nail for one-off houses in the country, and other. And their right to do for their constituents, and other politicians will have the opposite.
Well, let me put it this way then, to wrap things up. Whether they're tall or short, whether they're kind of in the corner of the field out in the middle of nowhere, or they're in high-rise blocks in town, if policymakers and politicians can agree on a target of how many houses we actually need to build every year to deal with the housing crisis, will this facilitate building more houses, do you think?
Yes, but we need resources. And the resources could be in the infrastructure, as your caller or your texter was 100% right. We do need the infrastructure, but we also need the resources. And we need to have planners in the critical skills list. In UCD students, there are excellent Indian students, Americans, Canadians, New Zealanders, etc. They can't work in Ireland. They can study here, but they can't work here. We need to get in more planners. We're not producing enough.
Tom Phillips, Managing Director of Tom Phillips Associates. Tom, as always, thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.